Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Being accomplished for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. This is the fourth edition installment of Plot Twist. Turn to your neighbor and tell them Plot Twist. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell them Spoiler Alert. You may be seated. Thank you for that yell from the back. Listen, I love when you talk back to me while I'm preaching, but more than talking back, I hope that you're taking good notes. The older I get, the more that I want to take good notes, because you might be in a season tonight where you don't need what I'm saying, what God's saying. But if you live long enough, you're going to be in a pit or a prison like Joseph, and you're going to need to be reminded of the fact that what God has promised, He is faithful to perform, and that if I'll keep my eyes and my faith focused on Christ, I'm going to not only make it through it, I'm going to make it to it. Remember, what you are going through is designed by the adversary to keep you from going to. Oh, let me say it again. What you're going through is designed by the adversary, stealing, killing, and destroying, to keep you from getting to what God has called you to be, whether it is a destination of you becoming something that you are not now, or having something that you have never had before. There is something that the devil will put between you and that you're going to have to go through to get to. But I'm here to tell you that if you will keep faith and you'll stand on the word of God, and you won't, come on now, you won't quit. You might get weary, but you won't quit on God. And if you'll begin to declare His word, if you'll begin to sing the Lord's song in a strange land, what does that mean? That the pit doesn't affect your worship, that the prison doesn't affect your praise. If anything, you can say, God, in the pit, I'm going to praise you more. In the prison, my worship life is going to another level. I'll get through it to get to it. And so Joseph is having a conversation with his brothers. And in 2020 vernacular, I could just see Joseph saying, I'm not mad. I'm not mad after everything you did. I'm not mad because I look back. And if you hadn't done what you did, God couldn't have done what God did. And you realize there is some things that you can't get to unless you go through something. And so I believe that Joseph never becomes prime minister, the second most authoritative man in the land, unless he goes through the pit and the prison. And so when I say that, I just make up my mind. I'm ready to go through some stuff so that I can get to where God has called me. The last week we talked about four things that bring about the plot twist in your life. Very quickly, love brings a plot twist. The Bible says that Joseph's father, earthly father, loved him more than his brothers. And that leads us to the spoiler alert that Jesus loves you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. One of the most disappointing things that I've ever done is spent time on YouTube watching godless young Americans that were raised, I am sure, in some type of church, but they go off to college or university, and they let some gray-haired man or gray-haired woman who has a different philosophy and does not have a relationship with God change their mind about the things of God. That's why it's important that on Saturday nights you get your young people to youth church. That's why it's important that you have devotions around your kitchen table on days other than Sunday and Wednesday. That's why your young people need to hear you pray, and you need to teach them to pray. And when we get Sunday school kicked back off and Catalyst Kids, that you bring them and you keep. Why? Because you are building a foundation so that when they go to a great university, they are not changed, but instead they implement change wherever God places them, like a modern-day Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. And so Joseph was loved by his father. We are loved by Jesus. There's nothing, even the God haters, the atheists, the agnostic, Jesus still loves them. When you understand, no matter where you are in your life, where you are in your walk, whether you are a person of faith or a person of fear, when you understand that there's nothing we can do that changes the love of God, it empowers us to say, I love you too. And when you get saved, it's saying, God, I love you too enough to give my life and accept your death on the cross and your resurrection into my life. And so saying I love you too brings us to the second thing that brings a plot twist, favor. Favor is an amazing thing because favor can come out of nowhere. Favor doesn't have to have a crawl across the bottom of the screen. Favor does not need a forecast. Come on, church. Favor does not need to give you a heads up. You can be in the middle of the worst Thursday of your life tomorrow, and you can talk to God, and because he loves you, and because you've said, God, I love you too, boom, favor just shows up at 1:26 in the afternoon. Somebody write that word. I just came up with that number. Write it down. 1:26. Spoiler alert, there's a plot twist coming. Spoiler alert, favor is fair. We love to preach favor ain't fair because it's cute to preach. Favor is fair. You say, well, I was blessed. I had $1 million before I ever came to God. You got lucky. That wasn't favor. Because you said you had $1 million. Where is it now? I had a successful business without Christ. Number one, without Jesus, you wouldn't have woke up that morning. You wouldn't have enough sense to put 2 + 2 together, let alone start a business. And so let me encourage you, because on this side of the cross, we like to say, I woke up with my mind, stayed on Jesus. Come on now. God has made a difference. And so for those of us that believe in favor, favor is fair. The devil knows he can't stop God's favor from getting to you, but he will stop your faith, which moves you closer to favor. The third thing we talked about was dreams, that dreams bring a plot twist, that dreams change the narrative of your life, that God begins to speak new word into your life, that you have to declare your dreams to unleash the plot twist. Every time you declare your dreams, you do three things. You announce to God, I believe you. You announce to yourself, I have a future. And you announce to the devil and the adversary that you are defeated. Can I encourage us? Some of us have been sitting on the greatest dream that God has ever given us. Some of us have had vision that we have not yet talked about. Can I encourage you before the sun's already down, before it strikes midnight tonight, you ought to call somebody up. You ought to post it on social media. You ought to start talking about your dream, because as long as there's a dream that is unfulfilled, you cannot stop the dreamer. If your dream has been fulfilled in the last 30 days, you ought to pray to God and say, God, I need you to give me a new vision. I need to give you give me a new dream. That way I know that I'm unstoppable and I won't turn my back on what you promised. The word, number four, the word of God coming out of your mouth brings a plot twist. Your words either paralyze the plot twist or produce the plot twist. Revelation says that we are overcomers because of two things, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb is the blood that was shed. The word of our testimony is what God has done in our life as a result of that blood. We ended last session talking about that my faith is my future testimony. So when I share my testimony, I'm not only talking about what God has done and what God has brought me through, I start talking about what God is going to do and where God is taking me to. It takes more faith to talk about what God is going to do than just what God has done. Am I talking to somebody today? And so the word of your testimony might not be what he did in 1983. The word of your testimony might be what God promised you in 2021. And you start pointing, saying, I'm believing that the God that spoke to me, that the same God that saved me, that the same God that delivered me, that the same God that empowered me is the same God that is the Omega and standing in my future. And I believe that what God has promised today, he is going to carry out my future testimony. That's where we've been the last week or so. The last few weeks, last 3 weeks, I've had a question that has been sent to me via DM and email. And so I want to clear this up here in the first few moments of this message. And the question is how do we know if our dreams are God-given? That's a valid question. Because sometimes your dream is not from God, it's because you ate too much pizza at 1 a.m. Sometimes your dream is not of God, it's you were watching the investigative channel, snapped, my neighbor's a murderer, and that was the last thing you let seep into your mind. And so you start dreaming and having all these crazy thoughts. Can I encourage you? that you need to get in the Word of God and you need to have a time of intercession before you go to bed. I start my day with prayer. I end my day with prayer. I start my day with communion with God. I end my day. Why? Because I want to make sure that the last thing that my little head thinks about before I go into sleep land and dreamland is a God thought, is a spirit thought, is wrapped in faith. Come on. Is wrapped in purpose. But it's a great question. How do I know if my dream is a God-given dream? Here's the first thing you need to know very quickly. Does your dream confirm the Word of God? Confirm means to come into agreement with. This needs to be said because we have a lot of new converts and new Christians and new believers that you've been walking with God very closely for the last year. God's spoken word will never contradict His written word. God will never speak to you something different that He wrote to you. God will never tell you something that He does not tell the rest of us. And so when God tells you something, you can go to the Word of God. And when God gives you a dream, you have to automatically say, is this going to fulfill the Word of God or contradict the Word of God in my life or on this earth? If it contradicts the written Word of God, that dream was not of God. It might be a good dream. It's not a God dream. It might look like a good dream, but it might be from the enemy's camp, and it might be a trap. And so you need to measure everything that you dream, compare it to God's Word. Here's the next one. What does the Holy Spirit say? Conviction. We always talk about conviction and condemnation. I'm not, and you as believers, if you're saved, put your hand up in the air. Condemnation should be an old word to us. We don't live under condemnation. But what we do live under is the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings. You say, well, the Holy Spirit has never convicted me. I doubt you have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will make Pastor Mandy get up from a movie and walk out. I say Pastor Mandy, because she gets up 6 minutes in and she says, I'm not going to watch this trash. And then she looks at me with condemning eyes. Like, come on, Pastor, you're going to watch this? Sometimes I get up and follow her out. Sometimes I say, come back and pick me up in an hour and a half, and I got to pray and repent after the movie. Conviction is not a bitter pill. Conviction is a tool that believers use to get through the valleys, to get through the forks in the road, to get through the times where we don't really know because we've got, listen, when you get to the place of blessing and favor that God wants you to live at and God starts twisting the plot for your favor, this is where you no longer have a good choice and a bad choice. You got two good choices. Come on, can I encourage you? Some of us have been saying, God, I need you to open a door, and you've been standing in a hallway of 10 shut doors. Let me tell you where a lot of us are living at. It's God, not open a door. It's God, you need to shut some of these doors. There's way too many options. God, I need you. There's so many open doors. I thought I'd get a better amen right there than that. That means that God has so much in store for you that you literally say, God, there's 100 great options in front of me, but I need your Holy Spirit to lead me to make the right decision that is going to be the most beneficial for my walk with God, my marriage, my family, my church, my ministry, my purpose. What does the Holy Spirit say? The Holy Spirit is a tool for conviction. Conviction saying, don't do that, or saying, yes, that's the thing you should do. And so when I have a dream, I automatically ask the Holy Ghost, what do you think about that? And the Holy Ghost doesn't have to say, give me 72 hours and I'll think about it. The Holy Ghost, if I'm listening right there, boom, say stop, turn around, don't do it. That's not from God. That's your desire. That's you wanting to do something. That's your goal. That's not God's dream. That's your selfish vision. That's not what God is. Why does all of this matter? Because my dream, come on, is about to put me in some pits and some prisons. And this is the thing. Your dream, our selfish dreams will put us in pits and put us in prisons. But if our selfish dream gets us there, then a lot of times we start blaming God that we're there. But if God puts a dream in my heart or in your heart, and then it leads us to places that make us uncomfortable, if God brought us to it, God is going to bring us through it. If God placed us in it, he is going to put something in us or around us to get us out of it. Am I talking to somebody today that you are in need of a plot twist? But I've got to encourage you to make sure that you're dreaming the right dream, and what you are following and making life forever decisions on is a Holy Ghost dream. A God-given dream will have the following. Number one, a God-given dream will have doubters. Those that question. Those that when you start talking about what God has spoken to you, when you start talking about what God is doing in you, they just, in more words than not, maybe they just say, I seriously doubt that. Well, have you considered? Well, God has called me to do this. And they start talking about where you came from and that you don't have that kind of education and you've never had that platform and your personality is not really for that. And they doubt. Don't let someone else's doubt become contagious. Don't let somebody else's no become contagious. Don't let somebody looking down their nose at you and shaking their head become contagious. Either God spoke to you or God didn't speak to you. And when God speaks to you, his voice should be louder than anyone else's. Number two, you'll have detractors if it's a God-given dream. Detractors are those that rob you and your dream of validity and value. They demean and they diminish. They talk about that's not a dream from God, and they belittle you and they belittle your dream, and sometimes they belittle your God. And then you've got the diluters. Those are the people that add to. And when you add to something, when you add to what God has given you, it robs the quality of it. It literally waters it down. Have you ever had, if you go to Outback, don't get their iced tea. This one right over here. They water it down. All it is light yellow water. When I want tea that tastes like tea and tastes like sugar. I don't want sugar water and I don't want yellow water. Some of us, God gave us a dream 10 years ago, 10 months ago, 10 weeks ago. But because the people in our lives and around us diluted it and they added their thought to it and they added their expectation to it and they added their philosophy and their personal touch. Listen, you didn't give me the dream, so get your hands off of my dream. God is going to do it. It might take 7 plot twists, but if God promised that he's going to do it, then you've got the distractors. Those are the ones that take away the focus from your dream by any means necessary. Isn't it amazing how it was COVID, till the Supreme Court justice passed away, and now COVID is the second or third story on our newscast, and now it's the infighting between both sides of the aisle on when and where and who. All that is a distraction. It's a distraction because it's taking our eyes off of what's most important. It's taking our eyes off of the things of God, and we're getting it on the wrestle ring of politics. It's getting your eyes off of your dream, off of your God-given goals, off of vision. It's getting your prayers messed up. It's getting the Word of God mixed up. And I want to encourage you today, don't let anybody distract you. Don't let President Trump distract you. Don't let Joe Biden distract you. Don't let the Supreme Court distract you. Don't let what's going on at your kid's school distract you. Don't let what's going on with your spouse, your ex-spouse, your ungodly spouse distract you. Don't let what somebody sitting across the aisle from you, what they did last week to you, don't let it distract you. There is a great purpose, and the enemy will use anybody. The enemy will use anything to get your eyes off of Jesus, to get your eyes off of the Word. That's why every day, like David, 7 times a day, I've got to keep praising. Why? Because when I praise, I get my focus back on Jesus. When I worship, I diminish the noise, and God becomes loud again in my life. I quit reading the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and every Facebook post, and I put my nose back in the book called the Word of God, the good book, the Bible. Why? Because I refuse to be distracted by what God has created me for and calling me. I refuse for you to be distracted by what God has created you for and called you to. The last thing that every God-given dream will have, we see this play out in this story, death threats. Those that will do their best to kill the dream or the dreamer. They come from a place of hate. They come from a place of laziness. They come from a place of bitterness. They come from a place of prejudice. They come from a place of racism. They come from a place of bigotry. Some of that racism is by the color of our skin. Some of that prejudice is by what's going on in church, by denominations. Come on now. You've got family members that are still trying to get you to go back to the denomination. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest things God did you, number one, was he saved you and he's taking you to heaven. But let's be honest, really close to that, one of the greatest things that God did was he delivered us out of denominations, because there's some of us that we were religious, but we had no relationship. And I am here to tell you that some of the closest people in your life, they might even have the last name that they're trying to kill what God has placed in you. They're trying to drag you back, but I refuse to be dragged back, because I've got something in front of me. You've got something in you and in front of you. You've got greatness on the other side of pandemic. You've got greatness on the other side of this election. You've got greatness on the other side of the cancer report. You've got greatness on the other side of the bankruptcy. You've got greatness on the other side of the divorce. You've got greatness on the other side of depression. You've got greatness on the other side. And so I'm not going to let you kill what God has placed. The death threats come, but that's all they are, is their threats. Remember, spoiler alerts have already happened. The pen's ink is already dry. The director's film has already been cut and sent to the theaters. It's already playing, but a threat is just that. We don't deal with threats. We don't deal with people saying, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to bring you down. That's a threat. I serve a God that is a God of not the threat, but a God of the promise. There are 6,000 of those promises, and every one of them are yes and amen. Why? Because a promise, he's working backwards while we're working forwards. The promise has already come to pass. Everything you need, you already have. That's why in the Old Testament, he would say, by your stripes, we are healed. And that's why Peter would write, by your stripes, we were healed. It has already been done. That's not a threat. That's a spoiler alert. Everything we need, it happened on the cross of Christ. Doubters, detractors, diluters, distractors, and death threats. Let's go to Genesis chapter 37, verse 9. Joseph has already had a dream. We've talked about that last week. His first dream was about his brethren, and his brothers already didn't like him because they realized that their father loved him and favored him more. It was not just words because of the love, but it began to show up in actual physical things that you could see. And a coat of many colors was made for Joseph, and he wore that coat so proudly. And I'm sure as a 16, 17-year-old young man, he wore that coat to just goad his brothers and let them know, I am the father's pick. I am the father's favorite. Can I encourage you that God loves you? But God loves you at such a rate that people are going to begin to see how much God loves us. And when they see that love for us, they're going to start hating, and there's going to be some chirping. There's going to be some people saying some things about you, but I'm going to encourage you, don't let that quiet your dream. Don't let that stop your story. Don't let it put a pause on your praise, and don't make it waste your worship, but just dig in and say, listen, if my dreams affect you that way, then maybe when I'm around, you should just leave, because everywhere I go, I'm going to talk about what God is doing in my life, has done in my life, and where he's taking me. Verse 9, and Joseph dreamed yet another dream. Dreaming becomes addictive. Because when God starts showing you things, you start seeing those things come to pass. You're not going to be like a 5-year-old begging not to take a nap. You're going to want to go to sleep as much as you can so that you can close your eyes and God can show you another snapshot of your tomorrow. That God shows you another snapshot of your purpose. There's somebody that has been stumbling and staggering through 2020, wondering where God has taken you and what God has called you to do. Can I encourage you? You need to get quiet. You need to get still. You need to have some rest in your life. It is in those restful moments that God will bring you a dream. You don't need, listen, I need, there's a lot of, I need a word from God. God will give you a word on a Wednesday night, but God doesn't give much dreams on Wednesday nights. God gives dreams when it's just you and him and everything quiets down and, man, I don't hear God talking. Oh, God's talking. It's just that your partner is a lot louder than God in your ear. And, man, I hear people talking about God-given vision and God speaking and God's doing this, but I don't hear it. That's because CNN is too loud and all the political rhetoric is too loud in your ear. You've got to turn all that down and you've got to turn the dial up on God and say, God, I'm going to have you be the loudest voice in my life. Why? Because you're the only one that can give me a dream. My wife can't give me a dream. My church can't give me a dream. God, I'll be the dreamer, but you need to supply me with a dream. And he told it to his brethren again. This is the second. Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. I love the fact that David, after getting all of this hate, he just doubles down and he dreams again and he testifies again. Check this out, church. If you're going to live fulfilled dreams, let me say that again. If you're going to live fulfilled dreams, not have dreams, you're going to live fulfilled dreams, you're going to have to talk about it. Shout about it. Testify about it. Whisper about it. Email about it. Post on social media about it. Text about it. Be about all your dreams in spite of what is being said about you or to you by the haters. I've always preached a lot on haters. 10 years ago, somebody in this church, they asked me. They said to me, they said, you sure do mention haters a lot. I just don't think it's healthy for you to have so much hatred around you and talk about it all the time. And my response to them was, so you don't have haters? Oh, no, I don't have haters. I'm living a life of peace and love and joy. And I said, listen here, hippie. No, I didn't say that. I thought it. But I said to myself, and then I tempered and I said it to them, if you live in this day and age and you don't have haters, you're not doing it right. And then I gave them the scripture out of John 15, verse 18, that says, if you thought they hated you, Jesus said, that's King James Version, baby. This is not some message translation. The King James Version said, you thought they hated you? No, no, no. They hated me first. And the reason they hate you is because you've aligned yourself under me and you pledge your allegiance to me and I am now the Lord of your life and I sit as the king of your heart. Listen, if you are living this life as a believer and you don't have people gossiping about you, talking about you, coming against you, then you ain't doing it right. You're living it on Sunday, but you're not living it on Main Street because you should get a text from a friend. You should get a private message saying, man, I wish you hadn't said that. You're calling me out. Man, you're making me feel bad. No, I'm not making you feel bad. I'm just telling you what God has promised me. I'm just telling you what God has done in my life. Hey, you should quiet down the blessed talk. Don't you know we're in the middle of a pandemic? You might be in the middle of all that craziness, but I'm in the middle of the will of God and the hand of God. Doesn't mean I'm not going through it, but just that. I'm going through it, and I'm not stopping. I'm not pitching a tent where the devil is. I'm going right. Come on, if you find yourself going through hell, don't stop. Just keep going. Keep running. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But you ought to make sure that you get through hell as quick as you can. Haters are going to hate. Joseph said, listen, you hate me because of a jacket I'm wearing? Let me tell you about the dreams I'm dreaming. Let me tell you about where you are in my dream. Come on now. Let me tell you about where God has taken me. Let me tell you that by the end of this thing, I'm not going to be known as one of dad's kids. I'm not going to be known as your little brother. I'm going to be known as the prime minister of all of the land. People are going to be coming to me begging for food, begging for prominence, begging for position. And I'm here to tell you that there are some people that have talked about you and they've talked you out of your dream. But I'm here to tell you, Living Way, tonight we dream again. Tonight we put our mind back to what God has originally called us to. The dream has not died. The dreamer has been dormant. But awaken, oh man, tonight. Wake up, woman of God, tonight. Get your mind right. Get your faith focused. God is going to cause you to dream
again. A couple more minutes. Verse 10. This time he tells his father and his brethren. And his father rebuked him. Somebody say, ouch. And said unto him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? What do you do, church, when the closest people doubt what God has shown you? What do you do when the people that have the same last name as you, they doubt the promise of God for your life? And can I tell where I think a lot of us are? A lot of us have gone to the other end of the spectrum, and we just know when we're going to be around auntie and uncle, we're just not going to talk about the dream. When we're at work, we're not going to talk about what God is doing in our lives and what the promise and all of the dreams that God has placed and the vision. We're just not going to talk about it around certain people. When, listen, at the end of the day, the people that need to hear it most are not church folk. It's the people out there. It's the people that don't know Jesus. Why? Because I believe your relationship with the Father that leads you to a place of prominence. Listen, when you get out the pit, I believe you're going to bring everybody connected to you out the pit. I believe when you get out of prison, you're going to be leading everybody else that suffered bondage out. So what do you do? What do you do when they come at you at Thanksgiving? What do you do when they come at you over the phone? Two words that you should tell them. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. We had the plot twist. We had the spoiler alert. Here's another one. Stay tuned. Because not only do you have haters who are going to keep you trying to make that step of faith, but when you make that step of faith and it doesn't look like it's working, and it's right before the plot twist shows up, you're going to have some of those haters show up and start mocking you. Come on, dreamer. Where's your big God now? Come on, dreamer. I thought God was going to do this for you. Don't get mad. Don't get even. Don't raise your fist. You don't even have to turn the other cheek because it's just words. But you need to rear back and tell them, stay tuned. You've caught me in the middle of the story. I'm going to need you to stick around and finish the book. Stay tuned. You caught me 20 minutes into the movie. The plot hadn't even made its way out here yet. Go ahead and watch till the final credits because God is doing something. Watch the whole movie. There's a plot twist. There's a spoil alert coming. Verse 11. The first time. It was verse 8. The Bible says that Joseph shares his dream and his brothers hated him for two things, his dream and his word. He shares the second dream. I had never picked up on this. Verse 11, and his brothers envied him. There it is. There's what changes everything. That six-letter word, envied, because you know what? Hatred comes to... Envy comes disguised as hate. They hate you because they don't have what you have. They hate you because they want to be you. They hate you because you were willing to do what they are not willing to do. They hate you because you made the sacrifice while they were off living their life and living it up for the moment. They hate you because you buckled down and got an education. They hate you because you didn't rush into marriage at 17. You waited till 27 and you married the right one time instead of trying to marry the right one three or four times. They hate you because they envy what you have and they envy who you are. And check this out. What I have is because of who I am. What you have is because of who you are. You're a child of God. You are a son of the King. You are a daughter of the King. And that love and that favor and that relationship, it boils over into peace. It boils over into joy. And you're not fretting like everybody else is fretting. And you're not whining like everybody else is. But can I be honest with you? I told a friend today over lunch, I said, I'm ready for the election to be over, win, lose, or draw. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I'm praying about it. God's going to put the one he wants in the White House, but I'm going to keep preaching, teaching, living, serving,
wondering why. Because my dream is not going to be decided by Washington. My dream is not going to be decided by a candidate. My dream has already been decided. Stay tuned. There's a spoiler alert coming. They hate us because they want what we have. Stand on your feet. I remember when I was a little boy. And I grew up born in 81, so I was born just a few months into the Reagan administration. I remember watching President Reagan and then George H. And I remember hearing things on the news about the world. And I was under the impression that the President of the United States ran the whole world. So I was thinking, why are we having these kind of problems when he could just make decisions? And then you hear about all this infighting, all this craziness. The world literally hates America, they say. But nobody's climbing over walls and swimming rivers to get into Nicaragua. But everybody wants to get here. Why? Because they want what we have. Some of them come illegally. Some of them come the right way. Not here to talk about that. But I'm here to talk about when you do come the right way, you get all the benefits. There's a lot of people who want what we have as our relationship with God. They just don't want this relationship. They want all of this. There is no plot twist without the story writer, the author. There is no spoiler alert without the director and the producer. You can't live outside a relationship with God and then be shouting about favor and blessing. All of that is secondary. Joseph said, I am who I am because the Father loves me. I love him too. The coat of many colors, take it. Because the same Father who gave me that one can give me another one. And I'll trade that one because I've got my eye on a prime minister's jacket. And I'd rather have that than that plot twist. It's coming. Favor, it's coming. But I want to remind the Josephs in this room that you have what you have because of whose you are. I want to open this altar right now for those that I heard a lot of amens when we started talking about the detractors, the distractors, the death threats, the doubters, the diluters. If you're dealing with that right now, this altar's open. Specifically, I felt this word so strong in my spirit. There is somebody who, for the last 2 years, has been getting ready to start a business. And every time you bring it up, the closest people to you, I'm talking about family members, tell you you're crazy, tell you you shouldn't. You were about to pull the plug on it this year and start it. The pandemic hit, and the distractor said, I told you so. Shouldn't do it. Small businesses are closing everywhere. This is what I tell people. I don't have a small business. I got big business. If that's you, I want you to come to this altar. My friend, is that you? Is that you? That's you. All right. God's got you today. Vivi, God's got you. Paola, God's got you. I got three. I need about another 10 or 12 people that are in the middle of your plot twist that just need to announce to the devil, stay tuned. You got things going on and you just need to tell the devil, stay tuned. You need to tell yourself, stay tuned. Don't freak out now. Don't flake out now. Stay tuned. I need to talk to somebody whose marriage is on the rocks and you need to tell the devil, stay tuned. It ain't over. It ain't over. I know people are living way they've been divorced and got married again to the same people. Don't matter. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. That addiction.